Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Be seated, but don't be defeated. I'm super stoked to be here this morning. It is an awesome privilege and an honor to be here. And Pastors Steve and Sharon are amazing pastors. I don't know if you fully appreciate that, but I mean, the passion and the energy from Pastor Steve, it's reflected in this church and all that he's doing, and it reaches and reverberates even to other nations, as well as a faraway place called Nagaland. Hallelujah. And I want to just say thank you so much to Pastors Josh and Brooke. They're wonderful, first-class, top-notch people. Praise the Lord. Fun to be with too, and just a nice guy. Amen. And I didn't come alone. I brought my wife. She is from Nagaland, so she's going to come and sing "We Shall Behold Him." No, she's going to stand up and give her a hand clap. And I have my children with me, so let's embarrass them as well. They can stand up. The Von Trapp family singers is here. Tori, Ryan, and Little John, praise the Lord. If you want to know more about our ministry, you can check out our website. I'll give you the URL. It's sofi.life, S-O-F-I.life, Spirit of Faith International.life, sofi.life, and you can check out what God's doing in that part of the world. And if you'd like to download some of our messages on SoundCloud or links to YouTube, you can do that as well. And let me be a blessing to you. How many of you are glad you're here this wonderful Palm Sunday morning? How many would rather be here than the best hospital in Virginia Beach? Can I see your hand? Praise the Lord. Look at someone sitting next to you and say, you're blessed. You're super blessed because you're sitting next to me. Now turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. And as you're finding that opening or opening your phone, I'm going to pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for the presence of God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that he that speaks may speak as the oracles of God. And may he that minister do so with the ability that you furnish, so that in all things Jesus Christ may be glorified. To him belong the dominion and the power forever. I pray, Father, that every ear would be a listening ear, every mind would be an undistracted mind, every heart would be an open heart. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory for all that is done today. In Jesus' name, someone shout amen. Amen. Notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. You follow me in your Bible. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love or mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And my friends, the Bible tells us who God is. And his word is a more reliable guide than any feeling or impression or dream or vision or experience that you may or may not have had. And this scripture verse tells us something very important about the Lord. He is a covenant God. A covenant making and a covenant-keeping God. And so, for some reason, I feel led of the Lord today to talk to you a little bit about covenant. Covenant. A covenant is an agreement. It's a treaty. It's an alliance or a contract made between two persons or parties or entities. It is a promise or a series of promises usually made under seal. In other words, it's something that is legally binding. Now, several years ago, I purchased a laptop computer here in the States. And at the same time, I bought a service contract or like an extended warranty for the thing. And then I traveled to Nagaland. By the way, Nagaland is a small state in Northeast India. It's about the size of West Virginia. And so while I was there, the laptop malfunctioned. It wasn't working right. So I contacted the company and I told them, but I'm on the other side of the world. And they told me that their service agreement was valid all over God's green earth. They didn't say it that way, but all over the world, it's valid. And they actually sent a representative to my house. Now, not from America, that would be nice, but from India. The fellow had to travel by train all night long to reach me, just me. And he came, knocked on my front door and sat in my living room and fixed the computer. Now here's my point. If a secular business, I don't even know if they know God at all, if a secular business would make good on their contract with me, even if I was far away, do you think that God will not honor his covenant with us, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life? I'm telling you, God knows your address. If Amazon can find you, I'm telling you, God can find you. He can bring what you need. He can fix you when you're broken. He can protect you when you're in danger. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying right now? Hallelujah. He can help you when you're in trouble. He can bring the goods. Hallelujah. Because he's a covenant-keeping God. Glory to God. I had to purchase that service agreement, of course, with my own money. But I have a service agreement with God. Somebody else bought it for me. It was paid for with the precious blood of Jesus. My contract with Dell only lasted 3 years and only covered certain things. If I got angry and threw the laptop on the ground and stepped on it, they probably wouldn't cover that. They'd probably say, you know, we don't do stupid. But you know, God has given to me an everlasting covenant, and it covers every area of my life. And even when I act foolishly and unwisely, even when I do stupid things, I can still find mercy at his throne of grace. Is anybody out there today? You know, I can testify that I have lived in Northeast India for over 26 years. And I have never, in India, I have never been seriously sick. I live in a remote place, one of the most remotest places on earth. I've never had malaria, never had typhus or typhoid, which is very common in that part of the world. I've never been to the hospital except to visit someone else. It's not because I'm someone special. It's not because I'm Superman. It's because there's a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God. He said in his word in Exodus 15 and verse 26, I am the Lord your healer. Literally, he said, I am your physician. Don't misunderstand me. If I had to go to the hospital, I definitely would. And I believe in doctors, especially Christian doctors. Thank God for that. If you're gonna cut my belly open, you better know the Lord. But all I'm saying is I want to encourage you to look to and rely upon Jehovah Rapha, your covenant healer. Friend, Israel were the servants of God, but we today through Jesus Christ are his sons and daughters. If God was willing to heal his servants, why would he be unwilling to heal his own family? Amen. Not only that, but in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25, he said, and I will take away sickness. I will take sickness away from among you. The New Living Translation says, I will protect you from illness. I remember one wonderful Bible teacher. He said that he went out on the platform and he told the congregation, God, healing is God's perfect will for you. And the Lord spoke to him and said, no, it's not. And he said, it's not? And the Lord said to him, no, my perfect will is not divine healing, it's divine health. that you never get sick in the first place. God can not only fix you when you're broken, he can protect you from illness. Why? Because he's a covenant-keeping God. But to experience this, to walk in this, and that's what we want. We don't just want to preach a good message. We want the fruits of it. We want the reality of it. To experience this, we do need to know something about covenant. Are you out there? No understanding of the Christian life would be complete without an understanding of covenant. The word covenant is found over 320 times in the Bible. The Bible itself is a book of covenants. The word testament means covenant. Throughout the Bible, God made covenant with men. Actually, you don't make covenants, you cut them. The Hebrew word for covenant means a place where the blood flows. In ancient times, a blood covenant was the most solemn and sacred agreement known to men, and breaking it was considered something unthinkable. God swore to Noah that he would never again destroy the earth by a flood. And then he put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the covenant promise he made. The Lord made a covenant with a man named Abram, later Abraham, and he promised to bless him, promised to bless his descendants, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And circumcision was again a sign of that covenant. After he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai. And it's interesting, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, he said to them, "If you keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples." You shall be my treasured possession. That tells you something about what God values. See, like, you know, you've got things in your house that you consider ordinary. Pots, pans, you know, whatever, I don't know, utensils. But then you got special treasures, things that you keep in a safe place, things that you protect. Maybe you keep them in a security deposit box or something like that. God values people more than things. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Please sit down. I said God values people. So if you think like God, you'll value people more than things. He said, because of the covenant, you will be my treasured possession. The covenant made them special. And the children of Israel witnessed amazing, jaw-dropping miracles. They experienced stunning favor, all because of covenant. So covenant was the difference maker. Think about this, for example, when David faced Goliath, before he went out on the field, he said among his colleagues, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now, how did he know that Goliath was uncircumcised? Were they in PE together in high school? "I saw you in the locker room." What he means is this. He's not being crude, you see. He's not just name calling or something like that. What he means is this. David was saying, "I have a covenant with the covenant keeping God, and this big sucker doesn't." Hallelujah. Amen. But friend, think about it. Think about that. He slew the giant. But think about this. David was not the only man that day who had a covenant with God. Every Israelite in the field was also included. But David was the only one who had the confidence to stand on his covenant blessings, to believe the covenant promises. In other words, my friends, and for us today, it's not enough for you to know that you have a covenant. You must invoke your covenant rights. Because trust me, Goliath is out there. And if you haven't already, you're definitely going to face him. You must invoke your covenant rights. Now, you saw the video about Nagaland. Nagaland is a volatile place, in my opinion. It has a long, troubled history. When I first moved to Nagaland in 94, it looked like the place was on the verge of civil war. It's a whole lot more peaceful now, and I thank God for all of that. But still, there is turmoil just simmering beneath the surface. Several years ago, my wife and my children were coming home from a Wednesday night service. I believe I was in America at the time. And the driver was taking them to our house. A lot of people in India have someone drive them. It's hard to drive there. And so they came to a narrow two-lane bridge on the way home to our house. And they discovered that the military had set up a roadblock on either end of this bridge. They're stopping every car. They're checking the occupants. They're looking evidently for somebody, some miscreant, some person. And so they stop our car, you know, and they checked, okay, and waved them on. So they're driving across this bridge. And at the opposite end of the bridge, a car ran through the check post. Didn't stop, sped through it. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Well, the military, the security officers, they began shouting and blowing whistles and that type of thing, and that car just kept speeding away. Evidently, this person's the guy they're looking for, or something of that nature. I don't know. And then, and this is not just one or two. This is like a group of soldiers. My wife is there nodding. They pulled up their automatic rifles, locked and loaded, and were aiming to shoot that car. And trust me, they would do it. They would not hesitate to do that. Well, my wife and my children are driving on the opposite lane into what could be a hail of gunfire. We don't know how good their aim is. And at that moment, in the car, the windows are rolled up, but she yelled out, "Jesus!" I don't think the other car heard her, but I think someone else heard her. I think the covenant-keeping God heard her, because at that very moment, that other car speeding away toward them immediately came to a screeching halt. The military put down their weapons. You know, they rushed toward that car. They pulled out those fellows. I don't know what happened there. And then they motioned to my wife and my children, "Go on, go on, go on. Get out of here. Get out of here. You go on home." Well, my wife said that, you know, before that incident occurred, they were all just chatting away, bantering away. I wasn't there, but I think that's what she said, just talking normally. But after this happened, it was silent in that car. Everybody's just kind of thinking about their life. But you know what? I guess I would say I'm glad that incident happened. Because maybe that spoke to those kids louder than 1,000 sermons I could ever deliver. Because in that moment, they saw that our God is the faithful God. He's the covenant-keeping God. And that Jesus said, "And whatever you ask in my name," it could be translated, "whatever you demand as your right in my name, that's what I'll do." And that's exactly what he did. Hallelujah. Come on, can someone send up a shout of praise in this house today? The Bible is a book of covenants. We're covenant people. We need to think differently, you see. Stop thinking like an American. So you assume that your culture is the culture of the Bible. Nothing could be further from the truth. You have to have covenant thinking to understand, appreciate, and utilize the privileges of the Bible, the blessings of the Bible. So the Bible also uses covenant language, terminology that relates to the covenant. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, we read it earlier, God said he keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him, or mercy. The Hebrew word for steadfast love or mercy is the word hased. No, I didn't sneeze, that's how it's pronounced. Hased. And scholars say it's an untranslatable word. And I think I know what they mean. In our Bible school in India, my lessons are translated into the Hindi language. And I mean, I don't know Hindi myself, you see. So sometimes I have said something in English, you know, rather briefly, and the interpreter was going on and on and on and on. And I thought, you know, I said like da 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 da, and he's going da 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 da. I'm thinking he's preaching his own sermon now, da 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 da. And so I stopped him and I said, now I don't know what you said, but I know I didn't say that. And he said, no, Brother John, you don't understand. He said, I can't just say what you said word for word in my language, because that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make any sense. We don't have a way of saying that succinctly in our language, so I have to explain it to them. I said, oh. But then other times, you know, I said something lengthy, something long, and he just rattled off two words. I'm going like, da 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 da, and he went, da da. And I said, you didn't get it. You left out some parts, I'm sure. He said, no, we have one word that says all that. So there is no one word in English that is the equivalent of hased. Because it's a concept. It's not just a noun or a verb. It's a concept that does not exist in our culture. It's a covenant word. It's often translated mercy, loving kindness, or faithfulness. But I guess the best definition would be covenant love. Covenant love. One translation says covenant loyalty. So in other words, it's not just some warm feeling that God has for us. Like when he looks at us, he gets a little tear in his eye and just feels all warm all over, like Valentine's Day. It doesn't mean that at all. It's something like this. God is saying, I have made a solemn vow that I will always love you. I have sworn in blood to watch over you and care for you. I give myself fully to you. I have made your welfare my mission. It's not just a priority, it's my raison d'être, my reason for being. You are not God's hobby. He's not up there hunting and fishing and collecting stamps, and occasionally he hears your prayer. You are the apple of his eye. He is fully, you may not be fully devoted to him, but he is fully devoted to you. Can I get an amen? Even from the back, can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Now see, you and I, we don't live in a covenant culture. The idea is foreign to us. I mean, outside of church, you know, people in the, you know, on the streets, they don't really understand this at all, probably. But we do have one thing in our culture that's close. Not exactly the same, but close. It's called marriage. It's called marriage. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, God often compared the Israelites to an unfaithful wife, like in the book of Hosea and other places where he was trying to woo them back, you see. So in other words, it's not just a matter of following technicalities and rules. It's devotion. It's heart that he wants. What is the greatest commandment? Someone asked Jesus. He said, love God with all your heart. So if you don't keep that commandment, who cares that you don't tell lies? If you don't keep that commandment, who cares that you don't steal something? Who cares? That's the greatest thing. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Well, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and 32, it says this. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and 32. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Notice this, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. In other words, what he's saying is, they left me. They divorced me. They walked off. They abandoned the relationship. But that's not all he said. In verse 33, are you here, still here? For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Under the old covenant, God inscribed his law on tablets made of stone, but under the new covenant, he writes it on our hearts. What does that mean? Does that mean that God opened your chest, pulled out a gel pen, and started writing? No, it means he put within you. When a man comes to Christ, he puts within that person his life, his nature, his spirit. He changes you within. This is the miracle of the new birth. Jesus did more than just give us some teachings or rules to follow. He gave us the ability to live like him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And this covenant is now available for all who believe. That's why God said to Abraham, his covenant friend, through you, all the nations, not just Israel, all the nations will be blessed. Therefore, through Christ, we are now God's special treasure. You're not junk. I said, you're not junk, and you're not ordinary. You're not just another nameless face in the crowd. You, through Christ, are God's special treasure. And God takes care of what belongs to him. Can I get an amen? The Israelites experienced a display of God's supernatural power under an old and inferior covenant. Shouldn't we experience even more under a new and better covenant? You know, sometimes we think this. Sometimes we think when we get to heaven, you know, we're gonna say to Moses, Moses, tell me what it was like when you parted the Red Sea. Or David, David, tell me what it was like when you killed Goliath. But you know what's gonna happen? They're gonna go up to you and say, hey, tell me what it was like when you got born again. Tell me what it was like when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell me what it was like when you had the presence of God in you and among you. Tell me what that was like. Ooh, besides that, there should be a display. The Bible says there should be a display of greater glory in this day and in this hour. I do not believe that the church will end it all on a low note. I believe we're going out in a blaze of glory with signs and wonders and miracles in this day. The Bible says in Colossians 2:11, I'm almost done. In Colossians 2:11, in Christ, you have a different kind of circumcision, one not made by human hands. That is, you are made free from the power of your sinful self. You are made free from the power of your sinful self. What is the proof that we are God's covenant people? It's not the clothes we wear or some religious jewelry. It's certainly not some kind of mark on our body. It's his life and nature. It's his spirit in our hearts. As I close this service, I want to say this to you. Before I married this woman on the front row, I'm pointing at Jeppy now. And before I married this woman on the front row, I fell in love with her, still do, believed what she told me, and I met with her and talked with her every day. But just because I loved her and talked to her every day, that didn't make her my wife. Friends, listen to me carefully. You online, listen to me carefully. God's not interested in dating you. He's not interested in dating you. He wants to be married to you. This is commitment. You're either all in or you're all out. And as I said earlier, God does not want any more CEOs in the church, Christmas, Easter only Christians. No more Sunday morning only Christians. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a day when I entered into covenant with that woman where I promised her that I would always love her. I made a vow. And something happened. The Bible says the two became one flesh. The Bible also tells me that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Her name changed. When you became a Christian, a born-again Christian, you had the right and the authority to use Jesus' name in prayer. See, some people want intimacy with God, but they're not married to God. And it don't work that way, friend. It just don't work that way. They want to experience the chesed of God, but they don't want the covenant. But it doesn't work that way today. I want to encourage you today, if you have never made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I can think of no better time than right now. Would you bow your head with me, please? Instead of looking around, I'd like to encourage you just to take a look inside and tell me what you see. I know many of you here, you've known the Lord, you've walked with the Lord, but there may be some here today that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Or maybe you're here today and you've fallen away from God. Like the prodigal son in the Bible, you've wandered into this world and the sinful pleasures and enticements of this age have cooled your affections for the Lord. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I don't really know. I'm all confused. If you don't remember anything else, remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. And you must be valuable because he paid a terrible price to get you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed and an attitude of prayer in this church or online, wherever you are, I'm gonna pray for you. If you would say, Brother John, please pray for me. I need Jesus to save me. Save me from myself. I need him to change my heart. You know, we've changed everything. Changed jobs, changed locations, changed houses. And yet we remained unchanged. Only God can reach in and give a man or woman a new spirit, a new heart. Or if you're here today and you'd say, Brother John, pray for me. I've fallen away. I'm gonna ask you to do one thing right now in an attitude of prayer. Can you just lift up your hand and I'll know to include you in this very special prayer for salvation or for what we would call a rededication, coming home, or because you're just not sure and you need to be sure. If that's you, God bless you, I see your hand. Just lift your hand because I'm going to pray. Friends, we have no promise of tomorrow, but we have today. Yes, God bless you. Let's not leave, God bless you as well. Let's not leave this auditorium. Let's not leave this service with any doubt, not even a shadow of doubt in our hearts. Let's make sure we know that God is our Father and Jesus is Lord. Anyone else here? We're going to pray in just a moment. If you're not where you should be with the Lord, raise your hand. We're gonna include you in this very simple prayer. Where you sit, I'm just gonna lead you in a very simple prayer. Hallelujah. Pray with me, everybody, right now. Pray out loud. God will hear you. Heavenly Father, come on, say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross so that I could be one. I could be forgiven. His blood was poured out for me to wash me clean. But you raised him from the dead to give me new life, eternal life, the life of God. I believe that in my heart, and I boldly declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father, for washing me clean. Thank you, Father, for receiving me, restoring me, healing me, making me whole. Thank you, Father, for covenant love. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, let's lift our voice toward heaven right now. Let's give a shout of praise in the house today. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.